Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. One of the things that we need to learn, everybody does, is to live in wisdom. Wisdom is basically when I know how to apply the Word of God in my life skillfully. I apply it correctly. I know how to use it. God gave us His Word for us to use His Word. God gave us His Word to apply it. He didn't give it to us just for information. It is information. It's a lot of information. But that information, if I don't use it, is useless. For example, let's say that somebody goes to medical school, becomes a doctor, they're very trained, and then they never use it. Maybe they go out and they're a plumber instead. Then what good was becoming a doctor if they're going to be a plumber? It's useless. In a similar way, if we don't use the Word of God is practically useless to us. However, it doesn't change what the Word of God is. The Word of God in John 1:14 still is that which became alive. The Word of God is still the truth in John 17:17. The Word of God is still what we are to live by in Matthew 4:4. And so it's necessary for us to learn how to use the Word of God skillfully. And that is wisdom. Now, there are certain things that wisdom is, and there are certain things that wisdom is not. There are some people who are wise, and some people that God calls fools. There are people who will neglect the Word of God. They'll simply not pay attention to it. They know that it's valuable, but they don't go after it. They may even know that it's the most valuable thing that exists, and they're very careless with it, or casual toward it, or very neutral about it, or sometimes even negative toward it. They don't look for it every single day. They don't lay down their life to find it. They don't trade everything they have to receive it. God calls that the sacrifice of fools. We don't ever want to make that sacrifice. We want to be those who are wise, not those who are foolish. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So this contrast that God is setting up says that there's a lot about knowledge that is related to wisdom. And that's true. In Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom. In other words, what is it to fear God? I receive the Word of God. It's not so much being afraid of Him. A lot of people say it's reverence toward Him. But that's not really the full story. That reverence toward God, that fear of the Lord, has to produce a result, or it's not fear of the Lord. That has to produce instruction in the skillful use of the Word of God. Otherwise, there is no fear of the Lord. There are Christians who fear God in the correct sense. They are very faithful to the Word of God. They love the Word of God. They do what they need to receive the Word of God as much as they can receive it. But then there are also those Christians who are not like that. They're perhaps a little bit careless toward the Word of God. They don't receive the Word of God, even though they could receive it. Something is more important than the Word of God at that particular time, perhaps, or generally. Something is more important, or perhaps their opinion is more important than applying the Word of God. And that is a lack of wisdom. That is foolishness. Foolishness has some serious negative consequences. We're not going to go into what the consequences are because there are so many of them. But foolishness has serious negative consequences in our personal life. What we want to do is we want to shoot for wisdom. Now, notice what it says about wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction in wisdom. I have to be taught the Word of God, and I need to be taught its application. When I'm taught the Word of God and how to apply it, that's called doctrine, categorical doctrine, because it's in topics. So, I need categorical doctrine. Another way you could put it is, what does God think about any given situation, about anything, any detail at all? God has a thought on it. That's categorical doctrine. Doctrine is the thoughts of God. It's also wisdom when I apply the thoughts of God. And He gives us those in His Word. We need to be instructed in this. Now that tells me two things. It doesn't come naturally. People are not naturally wise. People are naturally foolish because we have an old sin nature. And the old sin nature is going to get us to be self-centered. Self-centeredness is, you could say, as a contrast to this, the beginning of foolishness. Whereas instruction and wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Okay, this is where wisdom comes from, instruction. Now, in order to be instructed, I have to turn to somebody to instruct me. That's your pastor. Okay, the pastor instructs me in wisdom. Now, if I try to avoid instruction because I'm self-centered, I will not have an option. I will be foolish. But the second thing it tells us here is that it's an individual thing. In other words, I can't say, you be wise for me. It doesn't work that way. It's not something somebody else can do for me. It's something that I have to do individually with God. I have to be instructed. You can't be instructed on my behalf. You can't do it for me. Sometimes people look for other people to do it for them. Never look for somebody else to do for you anything related to God in your life. The reason is, it doesn't work that way. It's always a situation where God and you are meeting there. God and you are getting to know each other. God and you are growing together. You are becoming a portion of who you are in Christ, but you are developing that. You're becoming that in your practical experience. So this wisdom is what takes the Word of God and makes it my practical experience. That's wisdom. It's when I take the Word of God and I learn how to apply it. The Word of God is extremely reliable. It's extremely reliable. It has never been wrong, not once. In all of history, it has never made a mistake. And that's not just human history. That's also eternal history. In the history of heaven and in the history of earth, the Word of God has never made a mistake. It's never been wrong. It is the only thing that is entirely reliable, entirely trustworthy. This is why you want to get to know it. Because in ourselves, we don't have anything. Now, we have a human brain, and we have some human experience, but that doesn't amount to anything. In Isaiah 55:8, God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts that it's like the difference between here and the end of the universe. That's the difference between God's thoughts and human thoughts. It's enormous. We can't depend on our thoughts. We can only depend on the Word of God. Our thoughts don't define truth. The Word of God does. Our thoughts don't give us wisdom. The Word of God does. Our thoughts don't give us understanding into situations and people. The Word of God does. And so we always go to the Word of God. The Word of God will give you wisdom for absolutely anything. Let's say that you want to be a teacher. The Word of God will teach you how to be an excellent teacher. If you want to be a doctor, the Word of God will teach you how to be an excellent doctor. Ask Dr. Ben Carson, one of the most famous, most successful, best doctors in the world. He's a brain surgeon. He was one of the top ones. And if you ask him, how did you do it? He'll tell you, God did this for me. It's the Word of God in his life that made him to be an excellent brain surgeon. If you're an engineer, it's the Word of God that's going to make you an excellent engineer. If you're a businessman, it's the Word of God that's going to make you an excellent businessman. Because it teaches you wisdom. The wisdom that's taught in the Word of God can be applied to any situation in your life whatsoever. It's not a religious thing. It's a practical life thing. How do I go about relationships? Young people are often interested in relationships. How do I go about relationships? Well, the Word of God tells you that. If you apply the Word of God, you're going to go through your relationships very skillfully. And the relationships will be very healthy if the Word of God is applied by both people. If only one of those people is applying the Word of God, then that one who is applying it will always have a provision from God for a difficult situation that may arise in that relationship. But the Word of God is your source. It really is everything. It really is everything. We live by the Word of God because the Word of God is the only thing that can tell us how to live. It's the only thing that can tell us how to navigate situations that we don't understand. For example, you're going to get into situations in your life, if you haven't been there already, you certainly will be, where you just don't know. I have to make an important decision, and the decision is important. And I just don't know. Well, what do you do with that? Well, the Word of God tells you what to do with that. It's the Word of God in Proverbs 3:5 that says, trust in the Lord in all your ways and lean not on your own understanding. So what that's saying is don't worry about the fact that you don't know. That's not where anything comes from. Trusting in the Lord in all your ways, that's where everything comes from. And then in verse 6 it says, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and He will direct your path. So I trust in Him with all my heart. I don't try to figure it out because fact is I can't figure it out. But if I acknowledge Him, then He will direct my path. So now I've been in this situation, I just don't know, but I know what to do with that. I don't worry about the fact that I don't know. I trust God and I ask Him. Now sometimes when I ask Him, He'll give me the answer. It depends on what the need is. For example, sometimes pastors do counseling for people. And people will ask pastors things about their personal lives. When people ask me a question about their personal life, the first thing in a human sense that comes to my mind is, I don't know. I don't know your life. I don't know what's behind. I don't know your genetics. I don't know your history. I don't know. Now, that doesn't help anybody. But that's not the issue that I don't know. That makes no difference that I don't know. Because I have a provision. You see, I can trust God with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. And then I acknowledge Him. And what does He do? He directs my path. So in a counseling situation, I acknowledge Him. And out of the blue, I didn't know before, but now I know. That happens frequently when you're counseling people. Directing your path doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden you know what you didn't know. That's only if you need that. Directing your path can also mean that He's causing you to make the right choices and you weren't even aware that you're making the right choices. okay, you have two things to choose from, or maybe you have a decision regarding something in your life. Do I do it or do I not do it? Suddenly you start thinking to yourself, I'm not sure about this. I was going to do it. I prayed. I'm not sure about this. Or you could be in a situation where I wasn't going to do this and I prayed. And you know what? I think maybe I should. And then you make a decision. You know what? God was directing your path because you knew what to do when you didn't know. How did you know that? The Word of God told you. The Word of God gives us our answers. Sometimes people ask, like I mentioned, pastors for counseling, and it's perfectly fine. Counseling is teaching the Word of God. That's all it is. Counseling is teaching the Word of God. Except now you're teaching one-on-one rather than a whole crowd. So you're always looking to skillfully apply the Word of God in your life. There are answers for everything, but the answers may not always be what you're looking for. They may be different than what you thought they would be, but that's okay. Because it's God's plan, it's not our plan. It's not for us to figure out God's plan, it's for Him to make it happen. What we do is we get to know Him. We enjoy Him. We trust Him. And He makes things happen. If God, for example, calls you to be a missionary, okay, then you do the necessary things. You get trained, you go to Bible college and so on, and you learn how to be a missionary, and then you prepare to go on the mission field. Except for one thing, you can't get yourself there. Some people can. Some people say, I'll get a job, I'll pay for my airfare, and I'll go. The results may not be what God wants. But when you trust God, you will know what to do and when to do it because He'll give you wisdom. That's a part of wisdom, knowing what to do and when to do it. Knowing what to say and when to say it. By the way, if you don't know, then it's not time. God will give you what you need at the right time. If you don't know, then it's not time. That's all. When it's time, you'll know. You can have a lot of confidence in that. We tend to be impatient. That's one of our biggest problems. Okay, God, I don't know. I want to make my decision now. I don't know. I want to make my decision now, God. Why aren't you coming through for me? And God's like, you want to make your decision, but it's not the right time. You see, that's something that we have to be careful of. We get very impatient sometimes. We want things to happen yesterday, and God is saying, learn to wait on the Lord in Isaiah 40:31. Don't worry about what you don't know. Skillfully apply the Word of God. That you can know. He's given it to you. He's given you pastors. He's given you people to teach you. He's given you the Bible. You can know the Word of God. So get to know the Word of God. That's where wisdom comes from. In Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. In other words, prudent means practically smart. Okay? That person knows the right thing to do for the details of life. That person is prudent. A fool despises his father's instruction. That can also mean your spiritual father. Okay, if your father is a man of God who's given you instruction as a young person, that's what it's talking about. But an adult also has a father, and it's a spiritual father. Okay, it can be a pastor, it can be a teacher, somebody who has invested in you the Word of God. So the fool despises. Despise in the Bible doesn't mean that you hate it. It means that you think about it like it's something not that important. You esteem it lightly. Bible. Take it or leave it. Bible. That's a fool. The person who is wise knows that the Word of God is more valuable than anything in his life. One of the other qualities of a fool is that he's always right in his own eyes. In Proverbs 12:15. But the person who pays attention to the instruction that he learns from the Word of God, that person's wise. And in Ecclesiastes 12:14, this is one of my favorite verses. It says, the wise man's eyes are in his head. Which is kind of a strange thing to say on the surface, like, where else are they going to be? Are they going to be on his kneecaps? Right? But it's a cool verse, really. The wise man's eyes are in his head. It's so obvious in a way that you realize this isn't what it's saying. So what does it really mean? And it gets you to thinking. What it means in Ephesians 4:15, because Christ is our head, and eyes speaks of perception and understanding. The understanding that a wise man has comes from Christ. That's what it's actually saying. The understanding that a wise man has comes from Christ. So that means it's going to come from the Word of God, because Christ is the Word of God. How do you become wise? You go to the Word of God. Simple as that. You learn to apply it. Don't just hear it and then do nothing with it. That's useless. Hear it and use it. Use it in your thinking. Use it in your decisions. Use it in the details of your life. Hear it and use it. That guarantees you wisdom. Because the Word of God, by definition, is wisdom. Anything else is foolishness. You guys understand that? All right, that's it for today.